Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
It's 9 o'clock Eastern on the East Coast, 8 o'clock back home in Nashville. Max, how you doing, man? This is your host, Chad Minton, with Max Greenberg. How you doing, man?
Not too bad. It's just chilling out. The NHL trade deadline just passed, and NFL free agency is going on, so my head has been spinning the last few days.
Yeah, it's a crazy time in the sports calendar. Dust has settled on the trade deadline. We've seen the Preds play a couple games since then. We've seen Jason Zucker out there. We've seen Anthony Beauvillier. We've seen life without Yakov Trenin in the lineup. And the Preds' point streak is intact. It's at 12 games.
Yep.
That crazy game against the Wild where John Hines pulled his goalie. Did you even, be honest, Max, did you even know that rule existed?
No, absolutely not. In fact, I was literally on, I remember after the game, I was on Twitter just looking at tweets because I couldn't get off. And during the game, or after the game, they were talking about how the rule, of course, where if you pull your goaltender and overtime gets scored and you get no points. Well, I was on Twitter and I saw that and I told my dad, wow, and I saw this rule. And he's like, yeah, they just talked about it on the TV and you missed it completely. So I didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had no idea that. I've watched hockey for 15 plus years, never once seen that play out in my life. Like, I don't know if we'll ever again. That was one of the craziest things I've ever witnessed in sports.
That is called desperation right there. The Minnesota Wild are on desperation mode for sure. The Preds get a point. It always sucks when you get the loser point. You would love to get that second point. But the important thing to remember here is the Preds are in the driver's seat when it comes to the wild card race, at least. And I don't want anyone to be confused right now because we're talking about the Minnesota Wild and I'm wearing a green shirt. This is my St. Paddy's Day shirt, all right? It's St. Paddy's Day week.
Yeah, so, it's 5 days.
No one get that confused. I'm not supporting the Minnesota Wild wearing a green shirt right now. But it is St. Paddy's Day week. And yeah, but we're going to get into a lot here. It's episode 225 of Catfish on Ice presented by DraftKings. If you're watching live on YouTube right now, we would love it if you hit the subscribe button below. And while you're at it, actually hit the comment section and join our conversation tonight. We've got some good comments already coming in. We've got Predemption, our buddy Johnny, who actually has a really good Johnny has a good contest that I'm going to partake in tonight. We're about to tell you about that. That's going to open up episode 225. That should be fun. So there's Johnny. We got Nikki in the house.
Nikki.
She says, hey, y'all. And she says, oh, hey, Victor Green looks good on you, Chad. There's too many teams that have Green around here. She is referencing the Stars.
Fan, so, of course, she's talking about it that way,
okay.
Too.
Let me clear the air again for everybody. This is not supporting a hockey team. It is St. Patrick's Day week. All right. Anyway, I don't want to get pinched. Let's see. We've also got your buddy Matt on X. Matt, he says, Max, with a shake hand emoji. All right. So we are going to tell you what we're getting into real quick. All right. So opening faceoff is, of course, the big news of the day. And that is Dante Fabbro. So he's out 2 to 3 weeks.
Yep.
Pretty significant injury, everybody, because we're talking about a top pairing defenseman here. So just re-signed to a one-year deal, interestingly enough, but he's got an upper body injury. These things happen. Guys are banged up. Nothing to freak out about too much. The Preds have been very, very fortunate on the injury landscape over the last couple months. So no one needs to freak out like their hair is on fire right now. But it does – we're going to get into it, Max, but just – It's kind of a difficult time to be shaking up your top defensive pairing.
Yeah, and you know it's kind of weird. You know, the other day at the trade deadline, the Preds, you know, they didn't make as many moves as we thought they would, and one of those moves they didn't make was trading either Alex Carrier or Tyson Barrie. But now, I mean, if we're going for a playoff push, helps. I don't know. I still probably would have made those moves if we could. But you know, looking as far as the actual team goes right now, as far as the playoff chances, you're looking at thinking, wow, we got lucky.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to really get into that more deeply in the opening face-off tonight of episode 225. Also going to talk more about, as the Preds playoff chances get more and more crystal clear, we don't want to jinx it. It's not set in stone. They still have some work to do, obviously, but we're going to revisit this topic. Who do we think the Preds have the best chance of beating in a seven-game series in the first round? And I think it's a very, very valid topic to discuss, because we don't know who the Preds are going to play in the first round, because the top three of the Central Division is a dead heat. You don't know who won. So you don't know who two and three is going to be in the Central Division right now, whether it's going to be Dallas, Winnipeg, or Colorado. So you got to think about that. You also have no idea whether the Preds are going to be the top wild card team or the second wild card team. That also affects who you're going to play in the first round in terms of the Pacific Division winner or the Central Division winner. So a lot is up in the air on who the Preds could play in the first round of the playoffs, if indeed they do make it, which is...
I was also going to say that, like, you don't even know if they're going to make it.
But we're going to talk about
it. Better make it. That's what we did at the deadline.
I mean, they're close to a 90% odds according to most of the probabilities, but I know that things can happen. But we're going to talk about that. Also, we got a four-pack of questions here. Who has the better Preds future? We've got four different sets of questions, eight different players. We're going to pick each of these players against another player for the Preds right now. Who has the better Preds future? That will be fun. Mostly younger players on this roster, obviously, when we're talking about the future. That'll be fun. What else do we have to get into tonight? Also, the NHL points system is getting... Yep. It's under a lot of fire these days. It's back in the news. The whole... And it's really pertinent to what just happened with the Preds getting a point in overtime. And they've only got four overtime losses all year. They've taken two in the last week. But these teams who are piling up the overtime losses, and they are in better spots in the standings than these teams who have actually won in regulation.
Yeah.
So we need to talk about that. Is the point system broken? A lot of people love the idea of a 3-2-1 format where you get 3 points for winning in regulation, you get 2 points for winning in overtime, and you get 1 point for losing in overtime. I've heard that theory thrown out there a lot. So we're going to unpack that. Also, we're going to get back into some Titans talk, because it was a big day for Titans fans. The last 48 hours has been big. And Max, who writes for Titan Size, covering the Tennessee Titans, he's a two-way player, Max Greenberg is. He covers the Predators and the Titans. Go follow his Titan stuff. But yeah, the king is gone, Max, and I'm hurting right now.
I mean, for me personally, it hurts a little less, because, you know, I've been at peace knowing it was going to happen for months, and I've said on this podcast before I didn't expect him to resign, and, you know, it of course sad to see Henry go, but I'll get into it later. It's what happened. You know, while certainly is not great, especially the team he went to, certainly better than another alternative that could have happened, but we'll get into that later.
We will get into that later. It hurts. Yeah. Johnny's in here. All right. Speaking of Johnny.
Really not happy about it. He's really not happy.
Speaking of Johnny, also one last topic we're going to get into, and I'm about to share the to-do list on the screen here. Let's do that too. But, for episode 225 here, but Johnny came up with this really interesting contest that I'm about to partake in. Max, tell everybody what Johnny came up with here that I'm about to take the task on live. And I haven't cheated. I'm not a cheater. I don't cheat. But tell everyone what we're about to do here.
Yeah, so correct me if I'm wrong a little bit, if I get a little bit wrong here. But essentially what's happening is so I have my phone right here in my hand, and I have it. My time right now, it's set for 2 minutes. I haven't started it yet, but I'm going to set a timer for 2 minutes, and Chad is going to try to, I don't remember if he was going to name it around the live or going to write it down or whatever, but he's going to essentially, He's going to try and come up with as many Preds players throughout the entire team's history in 2 minutes.
I'm going to name as many as I can. I can't repeat, obviously. I haven't cheated. I haven't like wrote down. So here's my list. Let's get the graphic off so it's bigger on the screen. Let's make sure everyone knows I'm not cheating here. The light has to hit it right. I
can't really see it.
There it
is. Oh, I can see it better. Yeah, yeah.
Bunch of blank answers, numbers. So here's how this is going to work. I've got 100 blanks here. I don't think I'm going to get to 100, but I've got 100 blanks to write in.
I would be very impressed if you got to 100 in 2 minutes.
I'm not going to make to 100. But in 2 minutes, I'm going to see how many players I can name.
Yep.
I'm going to only write last names on my list. So with Johnny's Twitter contest that he came up with that inspired this idea, he named 123. I don't know if he was timed. Johnny, you got to get in the comments here and let us know how that worked. Because I think
I want to say he timed himself.
Well, all I know is he said he got 123 players, and he is the Preds encyclopedia.
Yes.
So I don't think I'm going to come anywhere close to that. And I'm not going to pretend like
I wouldn't either.
But I'm going to list as many as I can. I'm going to do the best I can. I am going to be writing them down. My handwriting is going to be awful, but I'm really writing them down just for counting sake. It's not really for legibility. It's just so I can write them down. Yep. And I got 2 minutes. We'll see how many I can get. Put in the comments how many players you think I'm going to name or how many players you think you could name in 2 minutes. I think it's fun. Thank you, Johnny, for coming up with this. If you're watching, if you're listening on our podcast platforms and you're not watching live on YouTube or X or Facebook, you're missing out. This is why you got to watch our live streams because we have fun like this. And I'm going to make a fool of myself, but it's okay. So, Max, you have the counter. Let's go ahead and do this. Let me know when it starts. Give me a countdown so I'm ready. Yep. All right.
Okay. I'll go from 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
All right. Leg one.
Yep.
Weber. Kostisinen. I can't spell his last name.
Yeah, we know you're talking about.
All right. Ryan Suter. Forsberg. God, my handwriting is so bad here. Radulov. All right. He was good. Yeah. He was good, right? 2-2. Yep. 2-2 was great. Yeah. Great. All right. Let's go with Seth Jones. I'm just naming random people right now. Let's go with Trennan. He just got traded. I'm so sad. All right. Let's go with Steve Sullivan. I'm all over the board here. I'm spanning across decades right now. Let's go old school Scott Walker. Let's go Cliff Ronning. Really old school. Really old school. One of the original Preds.
That's real
old school. Let's go with Blake Jeffrion, who was part of our last episode and our guest Sam Jeffries. Let's go with some goalies here. Let's go Soros. Let's go Devin Dubnyk. He was a goalie for us for a little bit, believe it or not. Let's go with Pekka. Oh, it took me 17 players to get to Pekka. What is wrong with me? Mike Dunham. Let's go with, oh my gosh. All right. We're going through goalies here. Askarov has already played a game for the Preds, so he counts. All right. We've gotten through some goalies here. Let's go back. Dan Ellis was a goalie too. I can't leave him out. Where am I at on time, Max?
37 seconds.
37 seconds in. All right. I'm doing all right. All right. Let's see. Let's get to some current players.
You have 30 seconds left.
Oh, okay. Statsny. I'm writing these players down. All right, guys. Lazan. Let's go with Nyquist. We're going current players right now. We're going with, did I do Forsberg already? Forsberg.
Yeah, you did.
I did. Damn it. All right. Ryan O'Reilly.
Yep.
This is like ridiculous when you have to write him down. All right. Let's go with McCarron. I named old school players, by the way. In 2 minutes, this is really, really hard, by the way. Let's go with Cole Smith. All right, I got 27, but I was writing them down, and my handwriting is horrible, by the way.
It's about what I would expect myself to get, honestly. 27. Johnny, maybe Johnny had longer than 2 minutes, but I mean,
of course, Johnny would be the one who gets into the encyclopedia. To really do this properly, you need somebody with a counter, and you need someone who's clicking, and you just naming them. I was writing them down. That makes it significantly harder. I will say that.
It does. You're right.
And I had brain cramps there at the end. I really did have brain cramps.
I always get brain cramps. I always second guessing things. So I'm right there with you.
I think the timer is what scared me. So no Duchesne, no Neal. If I would have had 30 more seconds, I was getting to Duchesne and I was getting to James Neal. I think that's fun. That's a fun exercise because it shows you in your brain who you think about first. So like Nikki would have definitely named Duchesne as one of her first players.
I tried to name Yossi.
I didn't. No, because I was trying to go with a different approach. I was trying to name old school players first, and then I started moving into the current lineup. And then when he told me 37 seconds left, I panicked. That's what happened.
Hey, man.
It's harder than it looks. When you have to write them down, it's harder than it looks. But I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who would have done better. But I didn't cheat, obviously. Nope. But that was a fun way to open the episode. All right. I got 27. Someone else can play at home. Oh, Predemption says, which Forsberg, Chad? I was talking Philip Forsberg, but of course there's Peter.
One thing I was wondering when you were doing it was which Kostitsyn brother, because remember, both of them played for us. Andre.
Don't ask me why I named that player. I was thinking old school players, and I just remember him, and I don't know. He was good. He was underrated. All right. That was a fun little exercise. I'm sweating now. I'm like, I need a towel. For real. I feel like I just ran like a couple miles. All right. Fair enough. All right, let's get into the opening face-off of episode 225 of Catfish and Ice. We'll put the to-do list back on the screen here. And Max, let's get into it now. Dante Fabbro injury effect on the Preds. He's out 2 to 3 weeks. Last I checked on Cat Friendly, he is an emergency loan, which is very interesting. Things that happens. Stassi? Yes. Or no, Spencer Stassi is an emergency loan to the team. There's some players that are reportedly banged up that didn't practice today for the Preds in the D-Corps. So we'll have to see what happens tomorrow. Yeah. With if there's more players that might be hurt, we don't know. Here's what I think about first. What does this mean for Tyson Berry? Maybe my thinking's all wrong here.
That's exactly what I thought of.
So do you put Stastny in just because you're calling him up doesn't mean he's going to start. So do you start Stastny or do you go with the veteran? You're in a playoff push here. You need Stastny has 17 games of NHL experience. We know he has really high expectations, but who do you turn to here, Max? I'm going to ask you.
You know, I would hope the Preds are not calling up Stastny in the hope and not playing him. I mean, I hope if they weren't going to play him, they just keep him in Milwaukee where the team's doing well and they have chemistry, and especially because Barry Trotz said the other day in his press conference after the trade deadline, he didn't want to mess with Milwaukee if he could because they had something special. But, yeah, I mean, I certainly wonder what's going on with the Preds' defensive core. I was surprised when we called up Stastny because I figured they would put Tyson Berry right in the lineup, you know, that. So when I saw that, I was kind of surprised. Now I did not see because in the past 2 days, literally all I've been focusing on is NFL. I did not see that the other players on the Preds D-Corps were supposedly banged up. So we're going to have to see how that looks. You know, that's, yeah, I'm interested to see how it's going to go because number one, I don't know really who else is banged up. And again, I did not expect them to call up Stastny because you already still have 6 playable defensemen already. So my guess is it's going to be someone else who is hurt.
Yeah. You would expect if they called up Stastny that they're going to put him into a starting role. But of course, we've talked about this a lot when it comes to right-handed defensemen. And, you know, obviously the scariest thing about this is the chemistry that Yossi and Fabbro were building on the top pairing, a big reason why, the main reason why, of course, that Fabbro was signed to another 1-year extension, which I thought was a brilliant move by the front office. Yeah. We haven't really talked about it. Fabbro doesn't even get a raise. He gets the same exact contract, $2.5 million, right, and he's a top pairing defenseman. I mean, that's a great deal for a top pairing defenseman. But that aside, now that he's out for 2 to 3 weeks, that takes you almost up to the end of the regular season.
Yep.
If the injury timetable comes out to right on the latter end of that 3 weeks, then Fabbro is going to be eligible and ready to come back health-wise right up in the last few games of the regular season. So that in and of itself is kind of weird and interesting. So you got to think, does Tyson, that Andrew Burnett might decide to shuffle both Barry and Stastny and see who plays better. I mean, are you really going to leave Tyson Barry? You didn't trade him. You couldn't trade him. He's still sitting on the shelf collecting dust.
And you, they could not trade him because Barry Trotz said in the press conference the other day that Tyson Barry and his agent were hard on the phones. They did not fail to trade him because they didn't try.
Yeah. So you got him now. And so I know that Stastny's the future. Tyson Barry is not. But all I'm trying to say is, you got to think about the veteran experience factor a little bit here, at least. It's not like Tyson Barry's a scrub. I've said this. I know he's not popular among the fan base. And I know everyone wants to see Stastny. And I know everyone's freaking out because the Preds actually got older at the trade deadline. They didn't get younger. They got older. Now, of course, in this offseason, that might regress to the mean and they'll get younger again. But as of now, they got older, mainly with Jason Zucker. But you gotta press me on this a little bit because I'm not totally set on starting Stastny over Barry right now. I'm not. Barry has been there, done that. He is at least a veteran. He can move the power. He can do some things on the power play. He's hungry. He wants to play. So does Stastny, of course. But I don't think it's that clear cut of a decision. Oh, yeah, go for Stastny 100%. I think this is a very difficult decision to make right now between Barry and Stastny in your starting lineup against the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with any of that, really, because, you know, Barry right now, being a veteran, like you said, definitely gives the Preds a better chance to win now, you know, whether we want to debate who's more talented, who's the future, all that. I mean, but Barry right now definitely gives the Preds a better chance to win, you know, games in the current. You know, that's what the Preds are going for right now, just for the rest of this year. But, you know, again, you know, like I said, I was shocked when the Stastny call-up happened. And again, I didn't know, I didn't know that other guys were supposedly banged up. So I'm thinking of course, Fabro's going to be out, but I'm thinking someone else might be at least day to day or, you know, out a week or two or something because number one, why are you calling up Stastny if he's not going to play? I mean, he's already in Milwaukee doing a great thing there, but I mean, the Preds didn't even need to call him up at all. Like, I don't know why they, at least to what we know. So I would think that something happened that they're not saying publicly yet about another injury or something, because again, like I say, the Preds did not need to call up Spencer Stastny.
Yeah. I did pose this question right before we went on live tonight. I wanted to ask some of our listeners and followers on X about what they think about this. And so we're about to put the comments on the screen here, because I always like to share what the fan base is thinking here. So this is just some of the stuff we got here. So Johnny says Yossi and Carrier on the top pairing. That's my big question here, is who goes on the top pairing with Yossi? And I am on full board with Johnny there. I think Alexander Carrier should be on the top pairing. What do you think about that, Max?
I'd certainly be okay with that. I'm thinking maybe it could be McDonough Yossi, because they've had it done before where McDonough's the left and Yossi plays on the right, and they've done that a good bit. So especially with how it's hard to know exactly what it's going to look like until we see, you know, who's healthy and who's not, if there are any more injuries at all. But I don't be surprised if it's McDonough Yossi, because then from then on you could go McDonough Yossi, Lauzon, Carrier, and then Stastny, Shen, or, you know, maybe Barry and Stastny. Or Stastny and Barry, however you want to do it. But I'm thinking it could be McDonough Yossi. They seem – Andrew Burnett and guys have seemed to like that pairing at times.
Yeah, and of course, McDonough has not disappointed at all this year when it comes to his defensive presence and his leadership. And, I mean, you really can't give enough props to how important Ryan McDonough is to this lineup. He does so many things throughout a game that get overlooked a lot of times. But when you really see the impacts he makes on a game, with protecting the goalie, with putting his body out there, with being in the right position, with just not making self-inflicted errors. He is so smart. So if you move him up with Yossi, at least you know your top pairing is led by two proven great NHL players, veterans, you know? And then, absolutely. Yeah. So, and then you leave Carrier and Lauzon intact, which they have been so good together recently. So at least your second pairing is taken care of there. And then Luke Shen and Spencer Stastny on your bottom pairing is definitely not your ideal pairing necessarily, but what it is, what it is. You got to do what you got to do, right? Yeah. So reading these comments here, Nikki says, Stastny would be interesting choice. I think he's more than earned the shot. You could go Yossi, McDonough, great at 5-on-5 too, but then Stastny and Shen, I don't know, man. LOL. And then Corey on X also responds and says, Stastny, leave Carrier and Lauzon alone. They're cooking.
Yeah, everyone seems to be in consensus. Keep Carrier and Lauzon as a pair. That's what everyone seems to really want to keep.
Yeah. So we'll have to wait and see. The Preds, we're coming to you on a Tuesday, a non-game day. Preds play the Winnipeg Jets tomorrow on Wednesday. Yep. So we'll have to see how those line combinations come out with Dante Fabbro out of the mix. Do they go with Tyson Barrie or do they go with Stastny? Assuming that they called up Stastny, you would expect Stastny to get into the starting lineup. But you feel even worse for Tyson Barrie. It's like you get an injury and the guy still can't get in the lineup, you know? But
I'm thinking there's something else going on injury-wise. There has to be. I've been wrong before, but especially if what you said is true, that other guys are banged up. I mean, if the report's out there, I'm thinking it's got to be.
So, yeah, just so we remember, Spencer Stastny has given really good early returns in his limited time playing for the Preds, but he's only got 17 games of NHL experience, hasn't really gotten the opportunity yet to, like, get in on offense and do all that stuff because – he's new to the game. He's new to the NHL. He's in the infancy of his NHL career, obviously, but he has done a lot of good things for Milwaukee, and he's looked at as the next man up when it comes to the Preds' defensive prospect pool. So it's not a shock that he's been called up at all. We were waiting for him to be called up at some point this year. So you look at what's going on here. If they do go with Tyson Barrie, Tyson Barrie hasn't played in a long time. The guy's got to be rusty. So you do have to think about that as well.
That might be another factor with how rusty he is. The fact he hasn't played in a month. I mean, that's something to consider.
At least Spencer Stastny's been playing hockey.
Right.
You know, like, I mean, Tyson Barrie's been out of the lineup.
Of course, he's going to practice. Practice is not the same as games. They're just not.
It's going to be a really interesting choice for Andrew Brennett to make. We're all leaning towards Spencer Stastny. He's going to be in the lineup, and Tyson Barrie will be a healthy scratch again. But let's think about the X's and O's here. How are the Preds going to be affected in the game by losing Dante Fabbro and what he brings to the table? And what could Spencer Stastny bring that Dante Fabbro doesn't bring? Let me give you my answer and let's see what you think, Max. But my answer is I'm really worried about, obviously, the chemistry being broken up a little bit here. But secondly, and more importantly, Fabbro is a very stable defender. He doesn't have a high ceiling, or at least he hasn't shown us he has a super high ceiling on the offensive end. But I trust Dante Fabbro to do what he has to do in the defensive zone. And the neutral zone, for that matter. I trust him. And he's proven it, playing with Roman Yossi this year on the top pairing. But with him out, the Preds might be a lot more susceptible to more counterattacks, to more defensive breakdowns, odd man rushes where UC Saros or Kevin Lankinen is going to have to stand on their head and bail the team out more. That's what I'm worried about for this stint where Dante Fabbro is going to be out. Here's where I think we could upgrade a little bit with Dante Fabbro being out of the lineup. Stastny does provide more offensive pop, more speed, more chances maybe on the rush to spring the offense ahead. It's kind of an even swap for me. I But I am really worried about the Preds getting burned on defensive chances with Faber out of the lineup.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with all of that, to be honest. You know, Fabro, at least with him, like you said, you know, he's nothing flashy or not the wow factor may not really be there, but at least you know what you're getting. He's a steady, reliable defenseman. You know, one of his biggest issues used to be that, you know, the lapses that he would have, and he's really cut those. I wouldn't say he's been absolutely perfect, but he's cut those down a good bit, still has throughout the year, and that's really been good, which has been really good for his game. So especially, you know, with the chemistry with Yossi, that can't be replicated. So that's a huge loss too. But yeah, like you said, the offensive side of things, if Stastny can probably bring an element to the game that, you know, Fabro usually hasn't brought. So that's good news. But also another thing, and, you know, we mentioned this too with Barry versus Stastny. With Fabro, one thing you lose with Fabro that Stastny doesn't have is the experience. And Fabro is still fairly young. I believe he's 25 or 26 at this point. And so, you know, he still has a career ahead of him, but he still has a lot more experience than Stastny does. And he's been on the Preds for a while. He hasn't been going back and forth at all between Milwaukee or anything. No, he's been in Nashville for years now. And yeah, so that experience is plenty of experience that Stastny does not have, and that's not going to be replaced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll have to see what happens there. Yeah, so just to confirm, Tyson Barrie hasn't played since February 15th, that 9-2.
Oh, God.
Grubbing. That was the last time Tyson Barrie played.
Yeah.
That's not going to bode well for Tyson Barry's chances. Not that he was the only reason they lost that bad, but I'm just saying he was a minus three in that game.
But who was a plus in that game?
Nobody. Nobody. That's true. That's true. But yeah. Tough times for Tyson Barrie. He's kind of held prisoner right now with the Preds, unfortunately for him.
But I feel bad for him. I really do.
Let's move on here. I want to touch on a topic real quick. I didn't really mention it in the intro, but we need to talk about it. Max, I kind of just hinted at it a little bit just now. What are your thoughts on – so all I've been force-fed down my throat for the past couple of years is Preds youth movement. We have to have all these young players play in the top six, and I get all that. I love it. I agree with all that, but – how much does what Barry Trotz did in the trade deadline kind of squash some of that a little bit? Like, I mean, is it time to say RIP to the Preds youth movement? Like, what do you think, Max?
It's hard to say. I can't sit here and say, oh, it's completely enforced. I mean, because obviously the moves we've made, but, you know, I will say the deadline, we didn't give up any of those players that we've coveted. So that's good news. I mean, as far as I talked about this, I believe on the last podcast on deadline day, our draft pool has gotten better. Because again, if you're anyone would take a third round pick over a fifth and a sixth round pick. So that's been upgraded too. And one thing that I really stick with, and that makes me think like, okay, there's definitely some movement for the future, despite Trotz saying like, oh, I'm still concerned for the future, because he's made that anything you've heard him say, he's said that he's concerned for the future. One of the things he said that really caught my eye was, you know, Milwaukee has something special and I don't want to disrupt that. So that does make me think that he's at least hope that he wants them to get that experience to hopefully better develop themselves for the actual NHL. So, it's not, again, it wouldn't have been my strategy what happened the other day. And, you know, it's certainly not a thing where, you know, you can look at it and say, oh, the youth movement's completely intact still. It's in full steam, blah, blah. But I wouldn't say it's like completely gone by any means.
Prospect pool is intact. I mean, they didn't break it up at all, really. They swapped defenseman prospects. But other than that, they didn't take a loss.
Upgraded defenseman prospects.
They didn't take any losses in their prospect pool. That's for sure. They didn't trade any prospects that we covet and care about. So as much as the Preds did go up in average age, I think I saw from Cap Friendly that they're one of the top five or top six oldest teams in the league right now, just based on current roster. that probably is a little bit of a shock value to some people. And that's why I'm bringing up this topic. But obviously Jason Zucker is what shot that up a little bit.
Yeah.
And we don't expect Jason Zucker to be anything more than a rental, most likely. Mm-mm. How much is Jason Zucker going to boost your playoff viability? Well, we're about to talk about that. So interesting stuff from there from Max. I agree with almost everything you said there. But that gets us into our next topic here on episode 225 of Catfish on Ice. We talked – go ahead, Max.
So we were talking a second ago who was a plus in that 9-2 loss to Dallas. Johnny just texted me saying Carrier actually was a plus one in that game, if you can believe that.
That's like some Houdini magic.
That's crazy. Wow. Again, Johnny is the Preds encyclopedia. I just wanted to put that out there.
That just goes to show you. I mean, we've all had our qualms with the plus minus stat. We don't live and die by it. You don't live and die by the plus minus stat, but sometimes it does have a little bit of.
I agree. There are times where you can look at it and say, wow, that's actually pretty impressive for what it was.
And to lose a 9-2 game and for you to be able to say as a single player you were in the positive, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. At the same time, that's one of those things you could look and say, well, that's a bogus stat, but like, that's pretty shocking right there.
Score some bonus points for Alexander Carrier right there, and also for Johnny for digging that stat up.
Maybe that's why Barry Trotz didn't trade him. Look, that one game and said, you were a plus one, you're not getting traded. You can help our playoffs.
In a 9-2 game that we lost, you were in the positive as a player. That's crazy.
All right. That is nuts.
Good stuff. All right, so we've talked about this in previous episodes here and there, but now it gets serious. Now we're really talking about it because the Preds basically have around 90%, 85 to 90% playoff odds right now. In fact, Money Puck, in their latest playoff odds, says that the Preds have a 30% chance to make the second round this year, which is what brings up this topic again for me. Who are you giving the best chance for the Preds to win a first round series against? I've seen some people say the Dallas Stars a lot. I don't know about that, man. I the Stars are not my choice, but I want to get your thoughts first, Max.
That would be my choice, actually. The Stars were actually my choice and it might upset a certain person in the comments, but that was actually the team I was going to pick. And for me, it was between it was going to be between Winnipeg and Dallas, and it wasn't going to be Colorado after what the deadline, the experience they have. I wasn't going to put Colorado in there. I would not want to see them. I don't want to see Vancouver either. They have so much firepower and how we've looked against them this year. I wouldn't want to face them. The reason I said Dallas, and I had to go back and forth a little bit, is actually I was coming up with some arguments and when I looked at Dallas and Winnipeg, you know, some of the arguments I was going to use for Winnipeg that were actually could apply to Dallas too. The one thing that the biggest reason I put Winnipeg over Dallas is, all things equal, I think those are both very good teams, both deep teams. But I think the reason I put Winnipeg over Dallas, because when it comes to goaltending, I trust Winnipeg more than Dallas. Connor Hellebuyck. Another reason I thought, and I will say this kind of applies to Dallas too, because Tyler Seguin's been out for about a week or two now, and they've been still winning. But Winnipeg, they played some of their best hockey of the year when Kyle Connor was out of the lineup, which is crazy.
Yeah,
that's Tyler Seguin is no slouch of a player either. But I would say Kyle Connor matters more to the Jets right now than Tyler Seguin matters to the Stars. And also another thing, and this is me being a little nitpicky, because I can't say too much about this coach because he's been to the playoffs a lot. And if you've accomplished what this coach has accomplished, then you're still a pretty damn good coach overall. But Peter DeBoer has had some pretty bad playoff meltdowns over the years. And if you get them in a situation where they're on the verge of being upset and he's not a guy that's really been known for adjusting when his team gets really far down the playoffs, if you can get the Stars in an uh-oh kind of situation, we might get upset. I could see it more so than I could Winnipeg or any of the other teams. So that's my argument right there.
A 7-game series between Dallas and Nashville would be a bloodbath. I would expect it to be nothing less than a 7-game series, but I just think Dallas has Stanley Cup. They're my Stanley Cup pick. I'm not shying away from that. They are built to win this year. They are top to bottom an outstanding team. And a lot of times when they lose, it's because they didn't play their best game. When they play their best game, they are unbeatable. They are so top to bottom good. You're right. Jake Oettinger is a big question mark in net. I still believe in Jake Oettinger to get hot in the playoffs. He's not a slouch. He's had a rough year, but I'm going with, let's look at the standings first here in the division standings, the top three. So Central Division, you've got Dallas at 89 points, Winnipeg at 87 points, but they've got two games in hand on Dallas. And then you've got Colorado at 85 points. Those are your top three in the division. Is there a snowball's chance that in hell that Nashville could catch Colorado? Top three. Let's talk about that. We shouldn't just brush that under the rug, Max.
It's could. I don't see it, especially after what Colorado did at the deadline. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't.
They're 7 points back. Colorado's got a game in hand on them, but it's not impossible.
If you're talking, and to your point, if you're talking about how we got to watch out for these teams out of the playoffs to catch us, you got to be talking about catching Colorado. So yeah, that's a thing too. And one thing I will say about what I said earlier about the Stars, they've gotten one of their high prospects, Logan Stankoven, I believe is his name. He's coming. He's actually done really well. I believe he's on a point a game average from what I last saw. But again, he's a rookie who's played 8 games in the NHL. You're going to be up and down, so I can't put that as a huge reason. But it does add another element to Dallas's arsenal that only increases their chance of doing well in the playoffs.
So we can cross out some teams who we know the Preds are almost certainly not going to play in the first round. Vancouver has got a 10-point edge right now in the Pacific Division for the division lead over Edmonton and who's got 81 points in second place. LA has got 77 points in third place. So the Pacific Division top three is entirely different from the top three in the Central Division right now. The Central Division, you've got three teams separated by 4 points. In the Pacific Division, you got three teams separated by 14 points. So a big difference there. So it really comes down to, even if Nashville moves into the top three of the Central, and that would be a miracle in itself, there's really four teams possible that the Preds could play in the first round.
Yes.
Vancouver, Dallas, Winnipeg, or Colorado. It's those four teams.
Yep.
So I gotta pick between those four teams. It's really, I can't go Dallas. I think Dallas, it would just unload on us. I really do. I know the regular season has been, the Preds could have won three. They should have won three. They've won two already. I'm going to eat my words on this. I'm going Colorado. Bring them on.
All right.
Yeah, I know Colorado is top heavy to me. They really are. They've got issues. They've got issues. I know they did some things at the trade deadline, but everyone's so focused all the time on the top part of their roster. And yeah, they're loaded, but I think they're beatable. I do. I think they're beatable.
Their depth got a good bit better at the deadline, though. They added a lot of guys.
Look, the Preds have beaten them twice already this year. I don't trust Gorgiev and net.
That's fair.
I trust Oettinger more than I trust Gorgiev.
I would probably agree with that.
It's tough right now. All right. Look, I definitely don't want to face Vancouver in the first round.
No.
Obviously.
We can agree on that part.
Winnipeg, the Connor Hellebuyck effect. I could see us playing Winnipeg in the first round, and Connor Hellebuyck has a first round series of the ages. The Preds play great. They throw everything at him, get 40 shots a game against him, and they just can't crack through. And Winnipeg beats him in six or something. I could totally see that happening. When I look at Dallas potentially in a 7-game series, they look like a team to me that is going to flip another switch when it comes playoff time, and they are going to mow through some people. Book it. Screenshot this. I will put it in stone. I am a firm believer that Dallas is about to turn on a switch when it becomes playoff time. I don't want any part of them in the first round. I feel like Dallas could beat the Preds in five. I'm just saying it right now. I do. Dallas is so deep. Dallas is deeper than Colorado is, top to bottom. Colorado has more
before the deadline. I absolutely would have agreed with that.
Look, Colorado did some things at the deadline. People don't realize that just because you make a bunch of moves at the deadline, it's hockey. It takes time to build chemistry. It takes time. A lot of these GMs, they're throwing everything at the wall looking for something to stick because they're desperate and they want to try to win a cup. It doesn't mean it's necessarily going to immediately translate to playoff success. Dallas has been built for this for a couple years now. They've got a strong core that's been playing with each other for a long time. It's their time. They've been building towards this for a while now. It's their time. So I don't want to play Dallas in the first round. That's just my thoughts. I will take Colorado. It's really pick your poison for the Preds. Pick your poison. None of them are favorable matchups.
Right.
I don't know. I would rather throw our chances at Colorado in the first round. I'm going to stick with that. I know I'm crazy for that, but Nathan McKinnon does
too. I mean,
Nathan McKinnon cannot beat the Preds by himself. Miko Rantanen cannot beat the Predators by himself. I don't trust Gorgiev. I think the Avs got a lot of weaknesses that have been exposed. They're still a really great team. I'm just saying that right now.
Now, do I think the Preds? Now, I'm going to say this before anyone yells at me too much. I don't think the Preds beat any of these teams in the playoffs. I don't see that happening at all. Whether it be Colorado, Winnipeg, Dallas, or Vancouver, I don't think we beat any of them.
We're arguing who do they have the best chance against.
But yeah, I don't predict us to beat any of them. So make that clear.
Well, let's see what happens. All right. It's going to be very interesting. And of course the Preds have a lot of work to do. I mean, it's not like they've already locked up a playoff spot, but the fact that there's so much uncertainty on who is going to finish in that top spot, the Central Division, is what makes this an interesting topic. So
yeah, it's going to be a bloodbath to the end.
Yeah, definitely is going to be. That's why we love this time of year for hockey. And it's great for our podcast, of course, as well, talking about all this stuff. All right. We are going to get into a few other things. I'm about to ask Max, and I'm going to ask myself as well, who has a better Preds future for this team? We got four different sets of players we're going to ask about. Before we get to that, let's tell you about DraftKings real quick, our sponsor with our hockey offer right now. We know hockey games can move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can get $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. That's all you got to do. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers, bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY467369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.org.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved. We got a full slate of hockey games tonight. Scoreboard watching, Max. It's that time of year.
Yep.
Minnesota's playing Arizona tonight. Yep. So we're watching that one. Calgary's in action against Colorado. I've heard some people talk about that game. because they would actually like to see Colorado lose that game to strengthen the Preds' chances of maybe catching Colorado for third place.
Yeah, and then Vegas, Seattle, that's also a really big one. One of those teams has to win. That kind of sucks.
Yeah, so right now it looks like Calgary's beating Colorado 2-1, and we got the Wild beating the Coyotes 2-1. Dallas is beating Florida 3-1. That is a heavyweight matchup.
Yep.
Possible Stanley Cup final precursor. So some good games going on tonight. Let's tell you the latest DraftKings odds for Wednesday, March 13th. If you're listening on your drive into work this morning, thank you for listening on Spotify, on YouTube, on Apple Podcasts, all those podcast platforms. Thank you for listening. On Wednesday's action, we got the Kings at the Blues, with the Kings a favorite over the Blues. We got the Preds at the Winnipeg Jets, with the Jets listed as the favorites at home. We got the Edmonton Oilers at home against the Washington Capitals. Edmonton Oilers are heavy favorites in that game. And then the Colorado Avalanche, they will be on a back-to-back and will have to go to the Vancouver Canucks. That looks like a virtual toss-up according to DraftKings, Colorado at Vancouver. So those are your DraftKings picks for Wednesday. Use our promo code THPN. All right, Max. Let's look into the future here with who has a better future in a Preds sweater. Looking way crystal ball here. Let's first bring up our two most recent players that were picked up, and that is Jason Zucker and Anthony Beauvillier. Max, who has a better Preds future?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because in terms of who could have a better future, I mean, just
with
your
in a Preds uniform, after their Preds career.
Okay.
Just in a Preds uniform.
Even still, I mean, it's still tough because Beauvillier could be on the team longer because he's younger, but in terms of how I think they're going to do on the team in terms of when it's all said and done, I don't think either's going to be here after this year. So I would say Zucker. I think Zucker's going to end up being better for the Preds. Part of it also because Anthony Beauvillier, I mean, it's one play, but he had a really, really horrible turnover that led to a wild goal on Sunday again. Now, not like it's the reason we lost or anything, but you know, it was a pretty critical play, and he has bounced around a good bit from team to team recently, so it's not usually doesn't bode well for their careers. You know, whereas Jason Zucker has been in the league a while, he's at least a middle six player. You kind of know what you're going to get with him, so I take Zucker.
I'm going Anthony Beauvillier. And the reason why I'm doing that, and this is a really tough one because they, like you said, they both could not be here after this season. I think that Anthony Beauvillier has a better chance of sticking around with the Predators past this upcoming offseason. And he's younger, so I really put a lot of stock into that. And I think it'd be easier for the Preds to maybe retain him for a cheaper deal and just take a flyer on him and see what he can produce in the future. And who knows, maybe he can really hit his prime. He's been traded around and bounced around so much that do we really know what Anthony Beauvillier can do? I do not see the Predators keeping Jason Zucker past this year. So unless Jason Zucker is about to just go into full on beast mode in the playoffs and somehow be the sole reason the Preds win a first round playoff series, unless I'm predicting that, which I'm not, I'm actually going to go with the younger Anthony Beauvillier, who has a better Preds future. But that's a tough one to pick either one of those.
Yeah, that absolutely is.
All right, let's go to some more current Preds players who we feel will definitely be with the team into 2024-25. Two fan favorites here in the young core. Who has a better future, Max? Philip Tomasino or Cody Glass?
Oh man, I'll start by saying this: though there are two guys, although they're talented, I personally, at this point, maybe last year have been a little different. I don't feel great about either's future on the team, to be completely honest with you. You know, this this is a controversial one. This might seem crazy, and quite honestly, based on the way I've talked about him, I don't think I've said anything disparaging about the guy. I don't think people would expect me to have this. I'm going to say Tomasino. I think, you know, when he's been on the ice, you know, he's been good. It's been a matter of keeping him on the ice for whatever reason there is, but you know, he's been on the ice and Cody Glass. And I don't want what I'm going to say to be taken the wrong way. And I will say me personally with what I know, I relate a lot to what Cody Glass goes through, but he seems like, I mean, it very much seems like he's the kind of guy who goes through like a lot of emotional swings. It seems like his confidence does get rattled fairly easily. And, you know, he's the guy you absolutely want to have a future. You want to do well. He's such a likable guy. But is he going to, I hate to use this term, but is he going to be too fragile to make it in the NHL from now on, and mentally speaking? I worry about that with Cody Glass. I really do. And I hate to say it because I relate to him in a lot of ways, you know, with how emotional we can get a lot of times. And you want a guy like that to win, but I worry about it. I really, really do.
If I'm I'm right there with you. I do. If I'm going between Cody Glass and Philip Tomasino, I'm going Cody Glass. Every day I get more and more confused by what the long-term plan is for Philip Tomasino with his team. And I mean, he's going to be a restricted free agent. I know all we hear is, oh, he's being sent down to Milwaukee so he can get more playing time and not to freak out. And yeah. I get all that, but this is a tough one here.
This is the toughest one. I think it's on the list.
Yeah. I mean, two very similar players in terms of they've been through a lot. They've been sent down back and forth. They've been benched. They've been buried in the lineup. Cody Glass, everything he went through with the Vegas Golden Knights. Then he lands with the Preds. He gets a hat trick only to get healthy scratched.
Yeah.
You know,
twice in a row.
We'll have to see if he gets back in the lineup against Winnipeg. It's hard to make a bright future when you're not playing and you're a healthy scratch. But I'm going Cody Glass just because I think he offers more as a hopeful center, but also can play wing. But this is a really tough one. It's really tough.
This one is. Yes.
All right. Let's move down to the list here. Better Preds future. Next up, another couple young key players to the franchise. These two players are getting much more playing time. So this one is hard to answer in and of itself as well, but for different reasons, because both these players are actually getting the playing time and they're actually producing for the Preds. Who has a better Preds future, Max? Tommy Novak or Luke Evangelista?
Now, start this one by saying these are the two young guys on the Preds I am most excited about. These are the guys I'm looking at and thinking, I actually think these guys are going to be, could be long-term pieces for real. I think they're both real good players. They're talented. And Evangelista, especially in the past few games, has really, you've seen his confidence really, you know, shoot up through the roof, honestly. The way he's playing out there, the kid has so much talent. I'm going to go with Tommy Novak, though, just because I think what we've seen so far is a little better. It's not a ton, but I think, you know, especially through last year, Tommy Novak was, I believe, 43 points in 51 games. He was already producing at a really good pace. I mean, not elite, of course, but especially for a guy with that little experience, he was doing really, really well. And also, this isn't, you know, it's kind of lame to use this in evaluation of players, but in this case, when it's really this close, I think it matters a little bit. The fact that Tommy Novak plays center, which is a more valuable position than wing, I think plays into it a little bit more. So I'm going to go with Novak for the reasons I said. But, man, these guys, I think, have bright, bright futures. And these are the guys that I'm – two of the guys of the whole – because when you look at the whole Preds youth movement, you can't say you think everyone has a great future on the team. These two guys, this far into the year, these are the guys I really think have really, really bright futures with the team.
Yeah, for sure. We're talking about two players who are the key cornerstones to the Preds youth movement right now, Tommy Novak and Luke Evangelista. Joel on Facebook jumps in and says, you can see Evangelista's game exploding. Yeah. Some of the moves he's making is next level. So
yes.
Love the comment there from Joel on Facebook. Thank you. All right. So another tough one here, the first three here, and these are designed to be really difficult to answer, but I almost went Luke Evangelista because I think Luke Evangelista has more superstar, high-end, highlight reel type of talent. But Tommy Novak's the more well-rounded player. I think Tommy Novak can pile up more points than Luke Evangelista long-term. But Luke Evangelista is going to have way more highlight reel, SportsCenter top 10 type of goals, right?
Probably,
so. Yeah. I like Tommy Novak's long-term viability more than I like Evangelista's. Again, it's really hard to pick between these two, so don't come at me and say I'm a Luke Evangelista hater or anything. But I'm going Tommy Novak slightly for a lot of the reasons Max just said. Tommy Novak's a playmaker. He's a producer. He can affect the game in many ways other than just scoring goals. But the guy can also score goals when he gets loose in the slot. He has a great shot. He's a great wrister. Evangelista has more superstar ability, I believe. His ceiling is probably higher than Novak's. Probably. But there's no guarantee that any player is ever going to reach their ceiling. So I like Tommy Novak's stability a lot more than Evangelista's. So I'm slightly, ever so slightly, going to go with Tommy Novak in this question of better Preds future. Tommy Novak or Luke Evangelista. So me and Max agree on this one, Tommy Novak. But Nikki's been roasting me all night. She says, I roasted you enough tonight, Chad. That's all right. Hey, bring it on. I love it. I deserve it. A lot of times I deserve it. So, Nikki, I'm not even mad about it. Roast me all you want.
I want to mention also, I didn't mention with Novak and Evangelista, and with Evangelista, and I will preface this by saying I fully expect to get better with Evangelista as his career goes on. He gets bigger and stronger. But one thing that it feels like he gets bodied off the puck a lot, and that's probably due to him being a little small and inexperienced. But Novak's also been a lot stronger on the puck. That kind of goes kind of back to the center versus wing scenario, because being a center, you definitely have to be stronger and you know more physically imposing. But again, that's something with Evangelista, I think, is definitely going to get better as it goes on. But right now, from what we have, it's another reason why I probably go with Novak in this situation.
All right, here's the last one. Two players. One is getting ready to be back in the lineup. The other one has also played with the Preds for a little bit, but we're going with two players who have not played a ton. There you have it.
Yep.
Spencer Stastny or Igor Afanasyev.
This one, I mean, I don't know about you, Chad. This one for me was probably the easiest one. I say Stastny, and neither one sample size is that great, but the sample sizes we've gotten, Stastny has put together better stuff so far than Afanasyev. And again, this one I would say is the easiest one to say right now. It's probably the one that has the most potential to change just because we've seen so little from both of them. But what we've seen when Afanasyev played, it was so obvious that, you know, he wasn't really ready. Not even like mainly, I don't even really count the games he played this year because he only played two games. You know, last year when he played, it was pretty obvious he wasn't ready yet. But Stastny, I think, you know, from what we've seen, that guy looks NHL ready right now. He's already scored a goal. He's been a good two-way defenseman. So I would say right now, Stastny, it's really not a question for me right now.
I'm gonna go Igor Afanasyev.
Really? Okay.
I am. I think Igor Afanasyev is one of those players that's just, he's simmering. He's just waiting to get his chance. He keeps getting better and better. You know, he's playing for Milwaukee this year. He's only got 26 points in 57 games. I just think that Igor Afanasyev needs that long-term NHL time. And until he gets that, we're not going to see his full potential. I don't think he's gotten the same amount of looks, long-term looks, as other prospects have gotten to really know what we have in Igor Afanasyev. I think it's still a complete mystery. But I just like his heavy hitting physical presence and raw talent that he has. And until we see him get long-term stretches of NHL hockey, the jury is still out on Igor Afanasyev. And I'm probably going to be wrong on that. This is another tough one for me. Spencer Stastny, I don't think his ceiling is as high as Afanasyev's, but I do think that he could have a good NHL career. I just don't know enough about Stastny as far as whether he's going to always be a middle six defenseman or if he can eventually be a top pairing defenseman. We don't know. These two are very big mystery prospects for this team. Stastny's getting his time now, so we'll see what happens. Afanasyev, we don't know.
Yeah, I'd say Stastny, but yeah, you never know. Again, both these guys are still really unproven at this point overall.
All right, good stuff there. All right, one more thing we have to cover hockey related, and then we're going to get into some Titans time because we have to talk about NHL free agency and everything that's happened with that. NFL, and I need I need Max to really get me caught up on what has happened in NFL free agency.
I've been all over it.
But until we get to that, let's talk about the NHL and their point system because it's a big topic of conversation right now and debate. Max, do you think they should leave it alone or do you think that they should change the whole system of overtime losses get you 1 point and regulation wins only get you 2 points? You don't get rewarded any extra for beating a team in regulation, which is being proven to be more and more difficult these days. I think that teams who win in regulation should get more of a reward in the standings.
Yeah, I definitely don't think they shouldn't mess with it at all. I think the system right now is pretty bad the way it is. I'm in favor. I like the 3-2-1 system that people have said, you know, 3 points for regulation win, 2 for overtime win, and 1 for a shootout or overtime or shootout loss, and then nothing for regulation losses. Yeah, I mean, it's the system itself is, you know, not looking good. And one example I saw the other day was, you know, look at the team like the Preds versus a team like Boston. The Preds have 37 wins on the year. Boston has 38. Yet Boston has 91 points and we have 78 because Boston has 15 overtime losses or shootout losses. So they've accumulated points from just making it to overtime. And I believe the same thing almost happened to us a few years ago. We got burned in it was the year where the COVID realignment happened. And we were in the same division with Dallas, which we always are, but still Dallas was like right on our tails for that final playoff spot because of all the overtime and shootout losses they accumulated and we didn't have. And we had many more wins than they did. But because of those overtime shootout losses, they were like right there. And I don't think it's a great system the way it is. So I definitely think the 3-2-1 system or maybe if they were going to do that, maybe they should do a system where like it just wins and losses and that's it. You either win the game or you lose it and just either do 2 points for a win and nothing for a loss or just do straight record based on wins and losses and that's it.
No, I mean, I don't want to go that far with it. I think the 3-2-1 system is the only way you can go if you're going to change it. Otherwise, just leave it alone. But another example here of the disparity this year that really – look at a team like the Devils who has 2 more wins than the Islanders – but the Islanders have 14 overtime losses. The Devils have 4 overtime losses, but they are 6 points behind the Islanders in the standings. And the Islanders are one of those teams that are right on that playoff bubble. So they're right there. The Devils are going to try to catch them, but you look at it, regulation wins. So think about it from this perspective. If you were doing the 3 point regulation win system, the Devils have 2 more regulation wins, 3 more regulation wins. No, wait. All right. I got it all mixed up here. 5 more. They've got 5 more regulation wins than the Islanders. How are you going to tell me that a team like the Devils who have 5 more regulation wins than a team that's going to make the playoffs over them? That's not right. That's where I see this system being broken.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way around it.
I mean, if you look at the overall record for a team like the Islanders, and I'd be saying this if it was the Preds in this position, I would be saying the same thing. You look at the overall record. So, Max, you're saying just go wins and losses. Okay, look at the Islanders. And I'm not trying to beat up on the Islanders, but look at their overall record. They are 29 and 35. If you count their overtime losses and regulation losses, they are six games under 500, and they are ahead of a team like the Devils, who are 31 and 34, which is also not a good record. But the point is, it's broken. These overtime points are annoying. And it really only comes up in seasons like this where teams are piling up this many overtime losses, like you're seeing. And it doesn't always happen every year where you see this many overtime losses. But on a year like this, you're seeing some very, very common examples of teams with double-digit overtime losses. And they're getting rewarded for it, whereas teams that do the business in regulation and get the win, they still get penalized because they're taking losses and they're not getting it to overtime and losing and get the loser point in overtime. It's just a broken system. I think they definitely have to explore changing it.
Yeah. I think either what I said would be a step up from what it is, but what it is now is not cutting it.
I think you could get to a conclusion that everyone would be happy with if you rewarded extra putting your opponent away in regulation. I think that is a fair way to handle this. You get your 3 points for a team who can take care of business in regulation.
Yeah, agree.
And it would make the playoff race a lot more interesting as well. Let's think about it. If that rule is in place, let's say there's 3 points on the line now for a team that's 8 points back with 5 games left or something like that. That team's going to be a lot more aggressive in regulation to try to put a team away and get the 3 points. So I think it could be good for the NHL, actually. It could make it even more exciting down the stretch. It could extend playoff runs for teams who might be out of it normally, but now you can get 3 points per game. You can make up more ground. It leaves teams in it a lot longer in the playoff race. I think that's the way the NHL has to go with this.
Yeah, I would do that.
All right, we're going to wrap up episode 225 with some NFL Titans talk. A lot has happened. Max Greenberg, writer for Titan Sized, is going to get us the latest on Derrick Henry. He's joining the Baltimore Ravens of all. Yep. Was there a worse team, Max, that he could have gone to? All right, what's the worst team?
The Houston Texans were apparently in talks.
Oh,
That was where I was going to, like, if with Henry on the Ravens, I don't like the Ravens, but with Henry on the Ravens, I can at least look and be like, okay, Henry's on there. I can at least root for Henry and be happy for him there. If you're on the Texans though, I'd be lying if I were thinking the same exact thing. If that happened, I would have been like, ugh, because we would have to face him twice a year. And we don't even play Derrick Henry next year. We may not even see them for a while.
That's good.
So,
what do you think about the contract that Henry got? And do you look at it and think, wow, why didn't the Titans just pay him that?
I don't know. And I'll get into it in a second with the other guy, one of the guys we signed. Yeah. But the more you think about it, I think about it and other people said, and I got a comment on a tweet that one of my tweets said this when I was kind of panicking about it. It's really not about the money or anything like that. It's about Henry wants to win a ring. He's 30. He wants to do it quickly. The Titans are looking to rebuild, go in an altogether different direction. There's no hard feelings involved. Sometimes it's better for two sides to part ways. And Henry played his time with the Titans. He had the epic send-off. There's nothing to look back on Henry's time with the Titans and be like, he didn't do what he was supposed to. Of course, he didn't win a Super Bowl, but it's a team game, and Henry did everything he could. And so, yeah, I think it made sense for both guys to part with – both sides to part ways, that's really all. It's just a simple thing. Again, not about money or anything. It's just both sides wanted different things, and I think that's really all it is.
So tell us about the new running back in town, Tony Pollard, former running back for the Cowboys, much more speedy, much more pass-friendly. Am I right? Yep. Are the Titans, Titans are about to become a much more vertically passing type of a team, right?
Yep, and I'll talk about the other signings here too. And I've actually been updating Twitter when I've been on this podcast to make sure I don't miss on a signing. But the Titans made 4 signings yesterday, the first of which was Tony Pollard from the Dallas Cowboys. That was the one that shocked me the most. I expected the Titans to be in on the second wave, of, second or third wave of running backs. I expected more of like a kind of bruiser, ground and pound guy to pair with Tyjae Spears. So Tyjae Spears also is a electric speed pass catching back. But when you think about it too, it definitely does. It definitely could make, it definitely makes sense with Pollard, you know, from a surface standpoint, because, you know, you're number one, it shows the Titans are committed to changing their offense from going from more of this ground and pound, show what you're doing, predictable kind of offense to now whenever anyone's on the field, you're not going to know whether the Titans are going to run or pass because Pollard and Spears can do both. And so from that standpoint, I think it really makes sense. I imagine an offense like the Miami Dolphins, speed running backs with, you know, Devon Achane and Raheem Mostert, those, that was an absolute headache for teams, but yet it's not the total focal point. So from that standpoint, I think it makes sense. As far as the financials, and I will say we don't know for sure yet because we have not, at least I haven't seen, and if any Titans fans are on this watching, let me know if they've seen it. I've been on Twitter. I haven't seen, I don't know anyone that has, but as far as the annual average value is a little bit more than I want, 3 years, $8 million a year. I did not want to pay running back that much, but again, it's not one of those things that's going to, you know, kill the Titans. And I will say I did hear, you know, I saw that, you know, some teams were in a bidding war for Pollard and the Titans won out. So probably makes me think that guaranteed money is going to be a little more than we want. But again, you know, as far as the player we got, Tony Pollard is, you know, it's, it is a really good player and you're going to get a legitimate two back offense with, you know, committee. And that's what the Titans want to move to, because, and that's the modern day of the NFL offense is now two running back offense and, you know, speed kills. So yeah, I speed pass catching. I think it's a, it moves. It's definitely a move for the direction of the Titans. And I think it's a good player we got.
Okay. So real quick, touch on a couple other players. The other players we've picked up, and then what else do the Titans need to pick up? And then also, do you think that they have gotten better so far in free agency?
Yeah. So I'll also go to my favorite signing so far, free agency for the Titans, Lloyd Cushenberry, starting center last year for the Denver Broncos. Absolutely love that signing. With the Titans, it's no secret, the offensive line was a walking train wreck.
Yes.
There's no need to sugarcoat it. And center was no different. You know, Aaron Brewer gets a lot of hate from the Titans fan base. You know, obviously pass blocking, he's a liability. Can't deny that. Running game, he was a huge asset, though athletic, but with his size and strength, it was just not going to work out for him. But Lloyd Cushenberry was one of the best centers last year. He had like some of the fewest pressures and sacks allowed.
Nice. Run blocking, that's good to hear.
Not necessarily his strength, but he's perfectly adequate. What you're saying?
We got to protect Will Levis. We have to. I love that they went out there and made a move for the offensive line to address that. So that makes me feel like you just said. You said this is your favorite move, Max. You know, you're getting me on board with it. I mean, I love that they made it. They addressed this. This is great.
Absolutely. You know, now I will say it was pricey. $50 million over 4 years. $30 million total guaranteed. A lot of money. But hey, with how
the Titans offense
young
quarterback
last year, fine. Totally
protect
fine.
Protect your young quarterback.
The guy knows a stud.
So both additions you've mentioned, Pollard and the offensive lineman here. That both directly linked to making Will Levis a better quarterback, because now 100%. he's got a receiving running back who he can
throw to two of them. Yep.
And now he's got protection. So clearly they're doing things.
Not quite done the offensive line, at least I hope.
Yeah.
I still want to sign a tackle. We haven't done that yet.
Go to the defense, though. Touch on the defense real quick, and then tell us, do you think this team's gotten better? And then we're going to wrap up this episode.
So two players the Titans signed on defense. The first was another really good signing. Chidobe Awuzie from the Cincinnati Bengals. Really good corner. He's been consistent over the years. He tore his ACL in 2022. Wasn't quite the same, but, you know, everyone kind of knows one year removed from your ACL injury is going to be a little rough, but the 2 years removed, that's when you're typically going to see the full recovery. And Awuzie, he's a really fast corner. I believe he ran like a 4.43. Speed is really important for a corner. And again, like I say, a guy who's really been consistent over the years. He got a 3-year contract, $12 million a year, $36 million total, $23 million guaranteed. Really like that deal. And also important in that deal is he was from the Bengals and our head coach now, former Bengals offensive coordinator, two guys, they know each other well. So I absolutely trust right there. Brian Callahan knows he's going to be good for the culture. And again, that's a big help for the secondary. Again, secondary was one of the many areas of the Titans that was bad last year. Again, a bad team, but secondary especially was bad for the Titans last year. Final signing of the day yesterday, probably the one where most confusing, but still understandable. They signed former first-round linebacker Kenneth Murray to a two-year, $18 million deal. Super athletic guy, and you know that was an issue last year with Titans linebackers. They weren't really that athletic, especially Jack Gibbons, a guy for the Titans last year. While he was a guy who was really, really smart and knew where to be all the time, but because he was super unathletic, it was hard for him. There were plays where pretty much anytime anyone got to a side of the field and bounced to the outside, it was over against Jack Gibbons. That's not going to happen with Kenneth Murray, at least it shouldn't, based on athletic limitations. He's really good stopping the run, shooting the gaps, all that. But where he really lacks is, you know, overall in coverage. He's been a train wreck there. You don't ever want him on, you know, dropping back. That wouldn't go well. Because of that, you know, the Titans are still going to want to add another linebacker. And that's one area I'm not getting a little worried about. The linebacker market's kind of dying up a little bit, I do like how Rand Carthon wanted to get a more athletic linebacker. That definitely helps a lot. And if we can get Murray in a position where we can utilize his strengths and hide his weaknesses,
Don't they need an edge rusher as well?
Yeah, they do need another edge.
I saw Chase Young being brought up.
I'll be honest. I don't really love Chase Young very much. You know, big reason why is because he tends to take plays off from time to time. There was a play in the NFC Championship where the Lions scored a touchdown and he literally was not even jogging. Like, he was literally just kind of walking and watching a guy get in the end zone. That's not even like it was a fluke. That happens from time to time. I really don't want a guy. I mean, you cannot deny his talent. I mean, he was a second overall pick for a reason. He won Defensive Rookie of the Year when he did for a reason. But, you know, he hasn't been quite the same since towards ACL, and also he does take plays off. So I would worry about that a little bit. The Titans do need another edge rusher. I have heard, though, however, that they're in conversations with the Eagles for Josh Sweat, who's an edge rusher they're looking to trade.
Did the Titans gotten better at least through their free agency moves?
So far, I would say I'm gonna have to pull up here. I would say I wouldn't say a ton yet because we did lose DeNico Autry. That was a loss. We lost Azeez Al-Shaair to the Texans. Both those guys are the Texans, which is tough. That sucks.
But, and they lost Derrick Henry, of course. But so they're gonna be a project, right?
I don't think we got that much worse. I'm gonna say right now. You know, I'm going to say right now it's pretty much an equal team to last year because there's still a ton of holes to fill. Like I said, you got to get a tackle in here. You got to get another corner. Hopefully, get another safety.
What you're telling me is this team has a lot of weaknesses, a lot of holes. Yes. You're not going to fix it all in one offseason. It's probably going to be another really rough year next year.
Probably. Yes.
But at least they're trying to make some moves.
They're trying. And Rand Carthon said that, of course, and everyone knows this, you're not just going to spend all your cap space in one day in the NFL. That's just not how it works. So
yeah,
I very much don't think the Titans are done making moves, but they still have to make some more moves. But I will say, and I'd be lying right now if I didn't say that the tackle position, I want us to make a move there really soon. And I want us to make another move at linebacker. Those are the two positions I'm kind of getting worried about. I will say also, from what I've heard and I've seen on Twitter and from pretty reliable sources, they are right now in conversations right now potentially to acquire Legarius Sneed from the Chiefs, a guy who is a stud corner, franchise tag. That would be a huge addition. Would have to – hopefully you don't pay it too much. I worry a little bit you're going to get a high draft pick, but that would be a big addition. I also heard the Titans are in potentially on Justin Simmons, who just got released by the Denver Broncos, mainly due to their salary cap issue and them paying $40 million a year for a quarterback who's not even playing for them. But
NFL free agency is so crazy. So crazy. All right. Lot to keep up with there. All right. Thanks, Max, for that. All right. We are going to wrap this up. It's late. I'm tired. I need sleep. But it's been fun. It's been episode 225 of Catfish on Ice with Chad Minton and Max Greenberg. Thank you for joining us tonight. Hit subscribe on YouTube if you watched on our YouTube channel or on X or on Facebook. Thank you for that. We'll see you soon. Have a great night.
Get it.